Take our Bibles tonight and go to Revelation, the book of Revelation, chapter number 9. Thank you for that song. Revelation chapter 9. Let's all stand for the reading of God's word. Revelation chapter 9. And verse number 1. And the fifth angel sounded, and I saw a star fall from heaven unto the earth, and to him was given the key of the bottomless pit. And he opened the bottomless pit, and there arose a smoke out of the pit, as the smoke of a great furnace, and the sun and the air were darkened by reason of the smoke of the pit. And there came out of the smoke locusts upon the earth, and to them were given power as the scorpions of the earth have power. And it was commanded them that they should not hurt the grass of the earth, neither any green thing, neither any tree, but only those men which have not the seal of God in their forehead. And to them it was given that they should not kill them, but that they should be tormented 5 months. And their torment was as the torment of a scorpion when he striketh a man. And in those days shall men seek death, and shall not find it, and shall desire to die, and death shall flee from them. And the shapes of the locusts were like unto horses prepared unto battle, and on their heads were as it were crowns like gold, and their faces were as the faces of men. And they had hair as the hair of women, and their teeth were as the teeth of lions. And they had breastplates, as it were breastplates of iron, and the sound of their wings was as the sound of chariots of many horses running to battle. And they had tails like unto scorpions, and there were stings in their tails, and their power was to hurt men 5 months. Let's bow our heads for a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, I pray, Lord, that you would speak to our hearts. Lord, we're going to visit a rather dark chapter, rather dark portion of God's Word. And yet, Lord, it is the Word of God. And because of that, we know that it's true. And Lord, unbelievers, skeptics will mock and scorn. But the Word of God abideth true. And Lord, there's never been a prophecy that's been written down this book that either has not already come true, is coming true, or will come true. And Lord, I pray, dear God, as we take a few minutes and look at this, the fifth trumpet, that you would speak to our hearts and use these words, use this story as a motivation, Lord, in our lives as Christians to do the best we can, Lord, to win as many people to Jesus Christ as we possibly can before your soon return. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. May be seated. I love the book of Revelation. I love the book of Revelation. I just do. During my last year and a half of Bible college, for about a year and a half, a little over that, I worked two different jobs so I could earn enough money to finish school and support my new bride and our new baby. And I would leave of an evening, and I would start work at United Parcel Service at about 9:30 or 10 o'clock at night. I'd drive up there and have to be there by that time. And I'd work, both of these jobs were part-time jobs. I worked about 4 hours a night loading semis for United Parcel Service. And then I would get off work, and I had about 35, 40 minutes in between where I would drive around the corner there in Bedford Park, Illinois. I'd drive around the corner and I'd get over there and I'd have about 30 minutes wait. And then I would work for the competition. Roadway packaging systems, amen. And that made UPS very happy. But I would drive around the corner and I'd work for Roadway Packaging Systems, and I'd clock in and I'd work about 5 hours, sometimes 6 hours for them. Now, at Roadway Packaging Systems, when I got this job, they had just started up their parcel company, their parcel delivering company. So they were trying to hire UPS workers because we were experienced and we knew a little bit about it. And I'd worked there at that time for about, 6 years. And so they sought after us. And so I went and worked for the competition. And at the beginning, for about the first, maybe 8-9 months that I worked at RPS, because they were getting it on the ground, and it was a ground, really beginning, they were learning the whole process, and it was a good job and a good company to work for. But I think that they were probably a little bit lax in allowing us to do some things that later on they figured out they might get in trouble for. One of the things that they allowed us to do when we first got there is I walked in, and one of the first things I noticed was a lot of the workers would put Walkman radios on their belt, and as they were in the trucks loading or up on the belt sorting, they would put on a pair of earphones and listen to music or whatever they were listening to while they were working. And the management didn't have a problem with that. Like I said, about 9 months into working there, I think they figured out that that probably wasn't the safest thing to do. Someone tried to holler if something was falling on you or get your attention or whatever, you wouldn't be able to hear them. But I went out and bought me a little cassette player, a Walkman cassette player, and I put it on my belt, and I went in there, and probably for, I'm trying to remember as best as this tired old mind can remember back. That's getting to be a few years ago now. We, for about 8 or 9 months, they allowed us to do this. Well, what I would do is I listened to preaching tapes and Christian music and different things, but one of the things that I had in my possession at that time was the New Testament on cassette. And it was very exciting. I would take one cassette a night, and I would listen to that cassette all the way through. And sometimes I mispronounced the man's name, but that majestic voice, and I think it's Alexander Scorby, is that right? Did I say that close enough? That majestic, trained voice as he would read the scriptures was just a wonderful thing. By the way, during those 8 or 9 months, I would take one tape in a night and listen to it front and back. That allowed me to listen to the entire New Testament every 2 weeks. Every 2 weeks, I would listen to Alexander Scorby read through the entire New Testament, and that only took probably maybe a little over an hour of my night to listen through that whole tape. And I'll be honest with you, it was one of the most blessed times where God gave me that unique opportunity to just fill my heart, my mind with the Word of God. When they, I say this and people think that I'm kidding, but I'm not. When they made the rule where we couldn't have that anymore, I felt like I was going through scripture withdrawals. I really mean that. Because of my busy schedule, there was no way for me to listen to that or to do that, to sit down and just have time to read it myself that for that lengthy time. And I remember feeling that literally almost oppressed when they wouldn't let me do that because I looked forward to that. But let me set all that to say this. One of the most remarkable experiences, and I got to listen to this every 2 weeks like clockwork for those 8 or 9 months. One of the most amazing experiences that you'll ever experience is to listen to the entire book of the Revelation read from front to back in one sitting. I mean, it's just amazing. I always loved when I got that last tape because on that tape, they would begin in chapter 1 and he would read nonstop all the way through the book of the Revelation. And I love that. I love that. It's just an amazing, amazing book. It would do your heart good from time to time just to take the time to read nonstop through the book of Revelation. You know, it's funny to me, what we say we don't have time to do. Well, my goodness, Pastor, that could take a couple hours, but we have no problem popping in a video and sitting down and watching a movie for 2 hours. And we don't seem to have a bit of problem doing something like that. But some things that are life-changing and life-transforming oftentimes are the things we neglect. Let me just quickly give you an outline of the book of Revelation. Of course, I won't go into depth, and we won't do it justice. But I like to give this outline because it gives you a timeline. And I want to place chapter 9 on that timeline here in a minute as we talk about tonight the fifth trumpet, the fifth trumpet. I want to place it on God's timeline. In chapter number 1 of the book of the Revelation of Jesus Christ, John tells about his encounter with Jesus Christ on the Isle of Patmos. And he tells about the events that led up to him pinning down what we find in the book of the Revelation of Jesus Christ. And it begins with just that. Christ revealed to John. And John got to see Jesus Christ, and what an astounding chapter it is. Boy, I love to hear that chapter. I've so many times sat and listened or read that chapter and closed my eyes and tried to put myself in John's place and thought what a wondrous thing it would have been for him to be there alone and in exile on the Isle of Patmos and to have Jesus Christ show up. I think John probably was discouraged. And he thought, you know what, here, they finally quieted me down. They finally stopped what I can do for Jesus. They couldn't stop him any other way, so they just put him out on this island. And yet, Jesus shows up and says, John, I'm not done with you yet. I've got something for you to do. And you know what, if you're still drawing breath here today, Jesus still has something for you to do also and something for me to do. In chapter 1, we see this beautiful picture of the Lord Jesus Christ and the commandment of the Lord Jesus for him to write down what he was seeing. Now, chapter 2 and 3, most of you are familiar with this, contain the seven letters to the seven churches. And I think these two chapters, if you put it on a timeline, represent the church age. All right, the church age. And so that's what we're in right now. This is the time where we have an opportunity as the local church to be busy reaching souls for Jesus Christ in anticipation of the next thing on the timeline, which is the rapture of the church. We find that in Revelation chapter 4. So in Revelation chapter 1, John introduces his vision of Christ. 2 and 3, we see the church age. Chapter 4, matter of fact, I might go back there. Chapter 4 starts out with this verse. After this I looked, and behold, a door was opened in heaven, and the first voice which I heard was, as it were, of a trumpet talking with me, which said, come up hither! And of course, chapter 4 is a picture of the rapture of the church. And that's the next thing on the timeline. For those of you that are newly saved or you don't have a lot of Bible depth or Bible knowledge at that time, that's what we're waiting for. There's going to be a time that's described in 1 Thessalonians chapter number 4 and chapter number 5 where the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, well, come up hither, with the voice of the archangel and with the trump of God. The dead in Christ shall be raised first, and we which are alive and remain shall be caught up in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. Well, I don't know about you, but I want to echo one of the last things that John wrote in the book of Revelation. Even so, come quickly, Lord Jesus. Amen. And we're looking for the rapture. And so one man said, you know, I'm not looking for the undertaker. I'm looking for the upper taker. Amen. And that's what we're supposed to be focused on and looking. Chapter 4 is the rapture of the church. Chapter 4 also contains a little bit of a view of the judgment seat of Christ. And that, of course, is the judgment seat that involves born-again believers. And so chapter 4 tells us about the rapture. 2 and 3, the church age. Chapter 4, the rapture. Chapter 5, we then see, well, a chapter again where we focus mainly on one person. And this happens often through the book of Revelation where they just have a little time. Because the name of the book is The Revelation of Jesus Christ. And chapter number 5, we see the tribulation period about to be kicked off on earth. And the first thing that we see in chapter number 5, and again, the first verse in chapter 5, and I saw in the right hand of him that sat on the throne a book written within and on the backside, sealed with seven seals. And I saw a strong angel proclaiming with a loud voice, who is worthy to open the book and to loose the seals thereof? And of course, this entire chapter talks about how John began to weep because it seemed like there was no one that was found worthy to open this book. And by the way, folks, this is a book unlike any other book. These seven seals that one at a time was going to be loosed is going to be loosed by the very hand of Jesus Christ. But finally, out steps the Lamb of God. And the 20 and 24 elders fall on their face. And verse 9, and they sung a new song saying, thou art worthy to take the book and to open the seals thereof. And so chapter 5, again, we focus our attention on the Lord Jesus Christ who steps forward. He's earned the right. He's earned the right. He gave his own lifeblood to save sinners. And those very ones that refused his gift of eternal life, he stands, folks, in perfect justice in taking vengeance upon those. And the tribulation period, chapter 6 basically, all the way through chapter 18, is the tribulation period. And we'll talk about that in a minute. That is what is happening on earth. Chapter 4, the rapture, a little picture of what's going on in heaven. Chapter 5, we begin the focus going then in chapter 6 through 18 of what's happening here on earth during the tribulation period. What a horrible, horrible, horrible time in human history. Folks, nobody here wants to be on earth during the tribulation period, because Jesus Christ is going to take that book. And inside of that book, folks, he's going to break a seal one at a time, seven seals. During the tribulation period, there's basically going to be 24 direct acts of divine judgment poured out upon this world, this Christ-rejecting world. You'll have the seven seals of those books, each of them a specific judgment turned loose upon this world. Then you'll have the angels that step forward, seven angels with seven trumpets, and each one of them will blow a trumpet, and again, seven more judgments will be leased upon this earth. And then you get over then in chapter 15 and 16, and you have the seven angels come with seven vials or seven bowls filled with the wrath of God, and the Bible says it's without mixture. You see, the seals are horrible, but they're not as bad as the trumpets. And the trumpets are horrible, but they're not as bad as the vials. And when we get to the point where they're pouring out the vials, they pour out the wrath of God upon this earth without mixture. There's no holding back. God's going to put an end to this thing, and he does so in those chapters. And then, of course, we have the three woes, seven seals, seven trumpets, seven vials, three woes, 24 direct acts of divine judgment during the seven-year tribulation period poured out upon a Christ-rejecting world. Folks, let me ask you a question. Are you going to be there? I'm not talking about the person sitting around you. I'm talking about, are you going to be on earth to have to face those 7 years of tribulation? Boy, there's too much for us, of course, to cover chapter about the entire tribulation period. There's not enough time tonight to cover the seven seals and the seven trumpets and the seven vials and the three woes. But in chapter 6 through chapter 18, we see the tribulation period. In Revelations 19, we see the second coming of Jesus Christ and the battle of Armageddon. In chapter number 20, and by the way, in chapter number 19, the beginning of the millennial reign. Chapter number 20, we see the end of the millennial reign. Satan unloosed for a short season. And then we see the final defeat and destruction of Satan as he's cast forever into the bottomless pit. Then in Revelations 21 and 22, we just have some fun. I mean, we just have some fun because God just kind of pulls back the curtains of heaven and lets us take a peek, and we see the new heaven and the new earth. We see the new Jerusalem. We see what a wonderful place paradise will be. That's the timeline, folks. We're in the church age, Revelations 2 and 3. We're waiting for the rapture, Revelations 4. Then Jesus Christ will step forward as the perfect judge. And in Revelation 6 through 18, we see the tribulation period. Revelations 19, the second coming of Jesus Christ. We'll get to come with him, and he'll fight the battle of Armageddon. Revelations chapter 20, the millennial reign, the end of the millennial reign, Satan forever defeated. Revelations 21 and 22 gives us a picture of eternity and what it's going to be like to live forever with Jesus Christ. Now, for sake of time tonight, of course, I'm not going to be able to teach all the way through the tribulation period. I'm not going to teach through the seven seals and all seven trumpets or the seven vials and the three woes. But tonight I'd just like to focus on one trumpet, the fifth trumpet. And that's found, of course, as we read in Revelation chapter number 9. I don't know about you, but of all of the seven seals, of all of the seven trumpets and all of the seven vials and all of the things that I've read in the book of Revelation, for some reason, if you were asking me the one that stands out the most in my mind, the one that I remember the most, it's this one. I don't know if that's true of you or not, but it's always been true of me. This makes an impression on me. This makes an impact on me. The last few weeks, for the last month or so, we've walked outside in our house, and we live out in the country, and I've listened to the, say the name of it for me. I just need one of you to say it. Cicadas. All right. That's how I would have said it. It would have sounded like that. The cicadas singing. I heard the noise of the cicadas. Am I the only one that stopped? I don't think so. From time to time. I told Cheryl, I said, of a morning I walk out to go off to head out to the office. And I'll stand on the front porch and I'll listen to that sound. I stopped in and seen Brother Bo yesterday, and boy, they're loud at your house. I thought they were loud at my house, brother. They're loud at your house. I stepped outside the door at his house, and I just thought to myself, oh my goodness sakes. By the way, I brought some friends with me tonight, so. Amen. I've seen these rascals flying around, and I had Justin Daffron and Chad Gordon. If you want anything, just go see those two guys. I said, go find me some of these friends, put them in a sealed container and bring them to me. Amen. And that's what they are. By the way, these aren't locusts. Cicadas aren't locusts, but they have a lot of similarities to locusts. And I've seen these guys flying around as you have. They don't seem to really be interested in bothering us that much. But I'll say more about them in a few minutes. But I don't know about you, but the times I have seen them, I've thought to myself, oh my goodness sakes. I'd walk out in the morning, as I said, and I'd listen to them. And I'd hear their song, hear their noise that they're making. And I'd think to myself, what would it be like to be left behind? What it would be like to be without Jesus Christ during the tribulation period and have to live through this 5-month period. By the way, this is one trumpet amongst 24 direct acts of divine judgment. This is one trumpet, one thing, for 5 months to listen and to have to deal with what we read about today. First of all, the cicadas, let me educate you a little bit. Have you read the articles? Have you done a little research? Have you talked around about what they are and what they do? Let me just read them. The cicadas, this is interesting. By the way, this is interesting because it's going to parallel. There's going to be some drastic changes compared to our locusts, cicadas, those types, and what is happening in Revelation chapter number 9. Cicadas are flying. This is, I'm using exactly what the wording here that they have. Flying plant-sucking insects with prominent, wide-set eyes. Yeah, amen. Short antennas, clear wings held roof-like over the abdomen. They produce songs, which the males make, using specialized structures called timbals, not cymbals, timbals, found on the abdomen. All but a few cicada species have multiple year life cycles, most commonly 2 to 8. Everybody tells me that these are the 17 year, and they mentioned that. Cicadas populations, the periodical cicadas population, are synchronized so that almost all of them mature into adults in the same year. The fact that periodical cicadas remain locked together in time is made even more amazing by their extremely long life cycles of 13 or 17 years. So apparently there's a 13-year and a 17-year cicada. We just happen to be in that 17th year. Amen? Now notice this. I thought this was just interesting. I'm just going to give you some information. But I think it's going to be interesting because it's amazing how many parallels we find here. Cicada juveniles are called nymphs and live underground, sucking root fluids for food. Periodical cicadas spend 5 juvenile stages in their underground burrows, and during their 13 or 17 year underground, they grow from approximately the size of a small ant to nearly the size of an adult. In the spring of their 17th year, a few weeks before emerging, the nymphs construct exit tunnels to the surface. These exit tunnels are visible as approximately 1/2-inch diameter holes or as chimney-like mud turrets. The nymphs sometimes construct over their holes. Have you seen them? Are you seeing them under your yard, under your trees? I mean, you'll see a little 1 foot by 1 foot area sometimes, and there'll just be dozens of these holes, these exit holes where they've come out. 17 years they've been down there, growing and eating. Isn't it amazing the way God's made some of his creation? Isn't that fascinating? And on the night of emergence, nymphs leave their burrows around sunset, locate a suitable spot on nearby vegetation, and complete their final molt to adulthood. Okay, shortly after molting, the new adults appear mostly white, but they darken quickly as their exoskeleton hardens. Sometimes a large proportion of the population emerges in one night. I mean, all of a sudden they weren't here and now they're everywhere. Amen? And the newly emerged cicadas work their way up into the trees and spend roughly 4 to 6 days as tenural adults before they harden completely. They do not begin adult behavior during this period. And I thought, get this. Now, this is amazing. Why are there so many of them? Periodical cicadas achieve astounding population densities. Now, get this. As high as 1.5 million per acre. As high as densities of tens to hundreds of thousands per acre are more common. So the 1.5 would be an extreme case, but tens to hundreds of thousands per acre are common. Now, if you'll look around and see a little piece of ground, you'll understand that it's amazing how many of these holes there are right there in your own yard, underneath your trees, and in different areas. Okay? Apparently, because of their long life cycles, they escape natural population control by predators, and it goes on. But I thought, wasn't that fascinating? Tens to hundreds of thousands per acre. That's amazing. Now, here's again something very interesting, because we're gonna bring all this and show you some things that I think are just frightening. Cicadas are periodical cicadas dangerous? Cicadas are harmless, period. They do not bite or sting defensively, nor do they attack people. There's probably people in here that would argue that, but they don't. If a cicada lands on you, it does so only because it finds you to be a convenient place to land. Unless you happen to be using a lawnmower or weed whacker, in which case it might be attracted by the sound, all right? You may have thought she was its girlfriend or boyfriend, all right? So be careful if you're using a weed whacker. Basically, a periodical cicada can hurt you only if they mistake you for a tree branch and try to feed, something that can happen only if you hold a cicada in your hand for a very long time. Such rare mistakes feel like brief pinprick and cause no damage. When handled, both males and females struggle to fly at first, and males make a loud defensive buzzing sound that may startle but is otherwise harmless. Periodical cicadas are not poisonous to animals or humans, nor are they known to transmit disease. So we're talking about just something that's completely harmless, all right? But isn't that interesting? All they're really interested in doing is finding vegetation to eat on. They want to eat as much green as they can. They want to mate. They'll be here for a few months with us, and then they'll go. They'll be gone for 17 years. You wave goodbye, and in 17 years, you can see them again. Amen? Now think about this, folks. Most of us have lived long enough to see. They have annual cicadas, by the way. Some of them, they're much larger, is what I've been told, is they're much larger. And then the ones that are 13 and 17 are a little bit smaller. The annual ones are about 2 or 3 times this length. And that's what God's allowed us to see this year. That's what God's allowed us to hear this year. I wonder maybe if he's doing that for a reason. I wonder sometimes about the timing of what God's doing. I think if we'd listen to nature, to God's creation, we could learn some things. We could hear some things. I think God speaks to us in a lot of different ways. All right? And I thought about this. I've keep having this come to my mind. I'm the only one. I don't think so. I've had other people tell me the same thing, but it seems like since these have come out, I've been thinking more about the rapture. I've been thinking more about the tribulation period. I've been thinking more about Revelation chapter number 9 and how horrible it would be to be here when these satanic locusts are unleashed upon the world. Now, let me say something before I go any farther, because this sermon is not designed to scare any of you children. If you receive Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, if you have no doubt in your mind and heart, you have a clear memory of a time when you understood that you were a sinner, lost, hopelessly lost without Jesus, you realize that there was no hope for you except through the shed blood of Jesus Christ, and you believe that Jesus died on a cross for your sins, was buried, and rose again the third day. You believe that with a heart belief, and you called upon Christ and asked Him to be your Savior. Let me assure you something. When Jesus comes and says, "Come up hither," you'll go. You'll go. You won't have to worry about being around during this time here. But I'm going to tell you something. If you're not saved, I'd be worried. Because it's a horrible thing that's going to happen. Now, I want to just talk for a few minutes, just give you a few things about these locusts. And we're going to contrast them a little bit with the cicadas and learn some things. What about these locusts, Brother Jerry? Is there a similarity here? Well, let's look at this fifth trumpet. There's three things about these locusts I want to bring to your attention. Number one, you will first of all hear them. Then you will see them. And then you will feel them. This is amazing. This is startling what happens. I have an interesting thought process. When I read the Bible, I thought the craziest questions come to my mind. And I read that today and I thought to myself, I wonder what that key looks like. You know, you see them scary skeleton keys that every time you see one, you figure must go to a haunted house. I wonder what the key to the bottomless pit looks like. I have no idea. But all I know is that there's an angel sent down with that key to unlock the bottomless pit. And by the way, he went from heaven unto the earth. Then I got to thinking about this, and he opened the bottomless pit. I want to know this, where's the door? It might be in somebody's backyard that lives here. Be careful where you play, kids. You know, you see and digging around, you find an old door somewhere. Better be watching. Or watch how, if your curiosity gets the best of you. See, some of the kids around here, there's a few in this church that probably pull off picking the lock. I could just see them doing it. A couple of them I know around here may have their own key. Go back and visit home every once in a while, amen. And but I wonder where the door is. I wonder what the key looks like. We're not going to expand on any of this, but it's just my curiosity. But notice what happened. He opened the bottomless pit, and there arose a smoke out of the pit as the smoke of a great furnace. Folks, listen, boy, I don't know about you, but that stirs my heart as a Christian. My goodness sake. Do you realize at the end of the book of Revelation, people are going to be cast in this bottomless pit? And let me say this. We're going to see in a few minutes what comes out of here. But if they open the door of the pit just for a few minutes and this is what comes out, I wonder what's still in there. I really don't even think the Bible scrapes the surface of how horrible it is going to be to have to go to hell. I don't even think the Bible scrapes the surface. I don't even think it's probably that our human minds are able to comprehend most of what awaits those that die without Jesus Christ. And I want you to use this as a positive force in your life. Well, we need to be busy about winning souls to Christ. We need to be busy about it. Notice this. And the sun and the air were darkened by reason of the smoke of the pit. So you can imagine all of a sudden, if you're on earth here, this great door is open and this black smoke, like it comes out of a furnace, engulfs the entire atmosphere so that the sun is darkened, the stars can't be seen at night, the moon, and all of a sudden the Bible says that out of the smoke, verse 30, came locusts upon the earth. Now, the first thing I think we're going to do is hear them. Notice verse 9. And they had breastplates, as it were, breastplates of iron, and the sound of their wings was as the sound of chariots of many horses. Notice as running to battle. Running to battle. They had breastplates, as it were, of iron. I can imagine these wings clattering. Now, these cicadas here, I don't know if I can get them to do it, but I've never walked outside and thought that their sound was unpleasant. And even in one of the things that we read here, it refers to the songs which the, and I think it's very melodious. I think it's pretty. I don't walk out and but I can't imagine what it would be to be here in the tribulation. It's not going to be melodious. It's not going to be the song. It's going to be clattering and clanging as these wings beat against these breastplates of iron. And folks, they're coming. They're coming. The first thing people are going to do is hear them come and hear them come out of the smoke. This is one of 24 direct acts of divine judgment sent by God to a Christ-rejecting world. Isn't that unbelievable? First thing we'll do is hear them. The second thing we'll do is see them. Can you imagine hearing that noise? And all of a sudden, out of the smoke, here comes these locusts. And what are they going to look like? Oh, my goodness sakes. What a horrible description is given about these locusts. Let's jump down in verse number 7. And the shapes of the locusts were likened to horses prepared unto battle. And so their body is going to be resemble in some way the look of almost a horse's body. Isn't that interesting? The shapes of the locusts were like. So it doesn't mean they're going to look like little horses, but it's going to resemble that. It's going to make you think of that. Prepared unto battle, and on their heads were, as it were, crowns like gold. I sat in my office and looked at these things earlier, and I'm trying to imagine the dimensions. First of all, I think, and I'll tell you why in a minute, but I think they're going to be much larger than this. I think it's going to be more like the annual ones, where maybe three or four times this size. And I can't imagine looking at these things and looking at their bodies and their legs, the appearance of almost a horse preparing for battle. And then to see on the top of their heads, which these don't have anything that resembles that at all, but I can't imagine these, there's several crown-like, looks like crowns on the top of their head. You see people in those days capture them like we'd capture them here? You see the frenzy that goes on across the earth as we try to figure out a way to come up with some pesticide to rid the earth of these things, but they won't do it. You see them putting them under a microscope and trying to, can you imagine them holding them in a jar like this and the frantic, what are we going to do? How can we stop these? And look at these things and have them look back at you. Because it goes on to say that the crowns like gold, and the faces were as the faces of men. I'm going to tell you something. This is one of the most eerie things I can imagine. I look at these things and look them right in the face. I'm looking at it right, that one right there. He's looking at me. Hi there. What do you say? But I can imagine instead of the face of an insect, it looks like the face of a man. And it goes on to say in the next verse, and they had hair as the hair of women. Is your imagination going? Can you imagine that? Can you imagine that? Can you imagine? And having them in a jar, studying them like this, or see them coming and to see that. These are demonic. Remember where they came from. These are demonic insects loose from the very bottomless pit upon a Christ-rejecting world. Unbelievable. Unbelievable. And their teeth were as the teeth of lions. Are you getting this? Can you imagine the face as they beat against the side of the jar? Can you imagine the human-like features, the wild, stringy hair, and the teeth like a lion gnashing against the side of a jar? And folks, that's if they're in the jar. Can you imagine that? I mean, unbelievable. I knock on doors every week. You folks, many of you in here, knock on doors every week. I talked to a man last Wednesday right here in Jasonville, Indiana. I could give you his name. His dad lived a horrible, sinful life, and then at 54 years of age received Jesus Christ as his Savior, spent the last 8 years of his life as a Baptist preacher. And yet his son was raised during his sinful years. His sin years caught up with him, and he died at a fairly young age. I take that back. He died at 54 years of age. He spent the last 8 years, so he got saved when he was in his 40s, spent the last 8 years of his life as a Baptist preacher. But you know what? He couldn't win his son. And the man, I'm standing in his yard with him, Pastor, and he's telling me, he said, well, I think that God, he said, no, I'm not saved. Very definite about it. No, I'm not saved. Now, I've heard about it. I've heard it all. But no, I'm not saved. He said, but I think God's with me. And I said, how's that? Well, I've had 3 heart attacks and survived them. And I said, sir, that's the mercy of God. The reason he lets you survive 3 heart attacks is so that today a preacher could come by and today you could get saved.
Amen.
And then you know what they say? You all know what they say. I'm not ready. You're not ready. You need to get to reading the book of Revelation. Good night. This is one trumpet of 7 trumpets in a body of 24 direct divine judgments poured out against the Christ rejecting world. And by the way, folks, the lost people are not just at home today. There's lost people sitting in churches today. Amen. Are you getting this? We'll hear them, then we'll see them. Let me just give you this last one. Then we'll feel them. Now, 3 different times I want to show you what the Bible says about this. Now, you remember the structure? You remember the description of this locust? Now, here's something that's odd about it. Verse number 3. And there came out of the smoke locusts upon the earth, and unto them were given power as the scorpions of the earth have power. You got that? As the scorpions of the earth. There's a similarity between these insects that come out of the bottomless pit and something that already lives on earth. And the similarity is, we're going to find out, in their tail structure. Given them power as the scorpions of the earth have power. Jump down to verse number 5. By the way, I'd underline scorpions in verse 3 if I was you. Verse 5. And to them it was given that they should not kill them, but that they should be tormented 5 months, and their torment was as the torment of a scorpion when he striketh a man. And we jump over to verse number 10. I'd underline that scorpions again. Verse number 10. And they had tails like unto scorpions. Like unto scorpions. And there were stings in their tails. And their power was to hurt men 5 months. By the way, this agony is going to be so intense, we skip those. But in verse number 6, it says, in those days men shall seek death and shall not find it. They shall desire to die, and death shall not flee from them. I don't know, folks, if you've ever been to the point in your life where you've been in so much pain that you literally were willing to pray, oh, God, just take me. God, I can't live like this. God, I'd rather die than live another. But that's where they're going to be. I want you to picture this. Here you have these insects, very similar to these. By the way, during the invitation, I'm going to turn these loose when your heads are bowed and your eyes are hung. I'm hoping that a few of you that can't find your way to the front might get so scared and panic you run up here, and then since you're already up here, you might just, amen, do some business with God, amen. You see that? Can you imagine them being 3 or 4 times that length? Can you imagine the dimensions? Insect legs, powerful insect legs, like the legs of a horse. Are you getting this? Breastplates of iron, clatter, 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 the wings. You see these crowns on their head. You see the teeth like lion's teeth. You see the face of a man. You see the hair. Are you getting this? All right. Well, I was tired last Saturday, though, Pastor Jerry. You know, boy, I'm sorry I couldn't come on visit. I was just tired. You know, boy, it was summertime, and I just thought I'd take the summer and not show up to teen visitation. Don't have a reason. I'm not working. I just thought I'd take the summer off. Or I am working and I can't come, but you know what? I'll pick it up next year. I don't care if you can come or not on a scheduled visitation time. You need to find some time. You go out and win souls to Jesus Christ. Be a witness to Jesus Christ. By the way, you can be a witness every day. Everywhere you're at. Amen? Are you getting this? All right, we'll hear them, we'll see them, and then they will feel them. Let me read this to you. I went down to the encyclopedias and got something. I'm going to tell you, this is eerie stuff. And I looked up about the scorpion. A scorpion body has two parts. Its short, thick, forward parts consist of the head and chest, known as the thorax, which join together. The hind part is the long abdomen. Its last six segments form a slender tail. If you look at a scorpion's tail, it's in six segments. Amen? Got something? Okay, notice this. Scorpions eat large insects and spiders and are most active at night. The scorpion's stinger is a curved organ in the end of its tail. By the way, if you ever see a scorpion walk, I'll talk about that in a minute because it says this. The scorpion's stinger is a curved organ in the end of its tail. Two glands at the base give out a poison that flows from two pores. A scorpion wound is extremely painful but does not usually cause death. Isn't that interesting? Now this one is eerie. This is just encyclopedic description. Okay, I'm not adding anything to it or taking anything away from it. Like other members of this class, they have four pairs of walking legs. A scorpion has a pair. And by the way, I'm more interested in about the tail because we know the tail is going to be like the tail of a scorpion. But they have four pairs of walking legs. A scorpion has a pair of strong inner claws which it uses to grasp its prey. It also has a long, thin, jointed tail which ends in a curved, pointed stinger. This stinger is connected to poison glands. Now, listen to this. And you may have seen pictures of scorpions. When the scorpion walks, it carries its tails arched over the top of its body. Now, I'm always, before Brother Dave, when I'd picture these locusts, I'd picture them like a bee. When a bee lands on you and stings you, a bee lands on you and it curves its tail down and in and stings you. I'm going to say that's not what these locusts are going to do. Notice this, their tails are like the tails of a scorpion. They have the same power as scorpions upon the earth. And so the stinger is going to come up over the top. It's going to come over the top of the body. I want you to imagine for a few minutes, folks, these things come. Notice this. If we read this, I want to remind you of this. Verse number 4, and it was commanded them that they should not hurt the grass of the earth, nor any green thing, nor any tree, but only those men which have not the seal of God in their forehead. Now get this. You know why the cicadas don't bother us a whole lot? Because they're not interested in us. They are interested in green vegetation. They're staying in the trees. Like it says, if one comes and hits you or lands on you, it's by accident. He was just trying to find a tree. He was just trying to find something green. He was just trying to find a mate. He's not looking for you. But you notice when these come out of the bottomless pit, and they come to these trees, and literally, folks, they eat tons of vegetation off these trees, tons of vegetation, but they're going to be commanded not to do that. But they're still going to be hungry. Instead of coming out like the cicadas do, and their instinct is, where is the green, where's the leaf, where's the blade of grass, these are going to come out of the bottomless pit, and they're going to say, where are men? Where are men? A scorpion walks, it carries its tail arched over its body. When it grasps its prey with its pincers, it bends its stinger over its head and plunges it into its victim. The poison will kill or paralyze the insects, spiders, or millipedes upon which the scorpion feeds. The poison of some scorpions can make a person ill and sometimes even cause death. They're mostly active at night. During the day, they hide in dark places such as beneath stones, in bark, or in the dark corners of buildings. Folks, I'm just telling you, this is the way it's going to be during the tribulation period. And I picture these things as they fly down. Listen, they're not interested in anything but seeking out those who do not have the mark of God in their forehead. And I can imagine them with these pincher-type claws or these strong arms grasping into the very flesh of a person. You imagine looking down and have them look back at you with these teeth and this face and this tail coming over and piercing their victim. Folks, this is going to happen over and over and over again. That scared me. I'll be honest with you. Maybe because I'm just a big chicken. I remember when I was a little boy. I was scared of the dark anyway, but it's especially active at night. Can you imagine? Listen, these things are hovering out there during the tribulation period. And they're not interested in staying in the trees. They're not interested in eating the grass. They're waiting for human movement. I'm too busy to work a bus route. I don't have time to work a bus route. What do they want of us? Don't they realize how busy my life is? I don't have time to walk across the street and visit with my neighbors and try to get them to come to church. Don't they realize how important it is that I get out here and make enough money so I can afford my third or fourth car? I don't understand, Pastor Ross. I'm getting tired. It seems like every sermon has something about soul winning. Has something about soul winning. Watch this. How many of you believe that Jesus Christ is soon to return? I mean, can you not discern the signs of the time? Can you not read the paper and say he's coming? Here's a thought that I hope you'll take home with you. When you win a soul to Christ, I don't believe you're just winning and preventing someone from having to spend an eternity in hell. I think when we win people in our generation, we are saving them from having to go through the tribulation period. I'm talking about little children. I'm talking about teenagers. I'm talking about the young people in the neighborhood. I'm talking about that family that you drive by and you see the bicycles, but you look at your watch and, man, I don't have any time except to see my regulars. Man, that takes an hour. I'm talking about them. I'm talking about them. I'm talking about one trumpet out of seven. I'm talking about one direct divine act of 5 month duration in the midst of 7 years of 24 direct acts of divine judgment unleashed by Jesus Christ, who stepped forward. By the way, he can do it justly. He paid the price. He made salvation free. He has sent people out again and again to beg the lost to be saved. And yet folks reject. By the way, let me just close with this. You think Jesus Christ is unjust? You read the story, and I could take you to the three verses. At the end of the seven seals, men hide themselves from God. They run and hide from God. Notice this. At the end of the seven trumpets, they refuse to repent. Now watch this. It's getting more intense. At the end of the seven vials, they blaspheme God and gather together in Armageddon to do battle with God to try to destroy him. And this is after Jesus Christ came and died on the cross for my sin. You know, when I hear the cicadas sing, let me just give you these things, three things, one, two, three, and we'll be done. The cicadas things, three things come to mind. Number one, I think Jesus is coming soon. I just believe it. I think Jesus is coming too. I think he is. When I hear the cicadas sing, I think this, win the lost at any cost. I'm talking about I'm sitting on my front porch and I'm listening to these things and I'm imagining, listen, they're happy up in the trees. They're happy doing what God created them to do. But there's going to be a day when they're not going to stay in the trees. There's going to be a day. Some of you, I heard when I pulled them out and brought them out, I heard a few of you go, ooh. Can you imagine? Can you imagine your reaction when you see what's there? Win the lost at any cost. And number three, I thought to this. Third thing I think about when I heard the song of the cicadas is make sure you're saved. Listen, don't play games with this stuff. Well, you know, don't play games with this stuff. Don't play games with this stuff. Well, you know, I'm too proud. I know I'm not really saved, but everybody thinks that I'm just too proud. I'm probably all right. Don't you play games with this stuff. Don't play games with this stuff. I look all across the room and I could have people. I think about Chris always gives his testimony. He was talking about when he went to church camp that time. And you know what? He'd heard the preaching and he began to have doubts about his salvation. He couldn't go back with a clear time. And I think it was Dallas Moore. Was it Dallas Moore that talked to you? You jumped down and he come down and said, what's the matter? And you sat down with the Bible. And you know what? Chris settled that thing. He settled it. You know what? That's wise. Don't take a chance. Don't take a chance. Let's bow our heads and close our eyes.